Good afternoon.
Hi, Elias.
And what have you been engaging?
Well, as I was mentioning to Mary earlier, I've had great results with something I've playfully called RIP, or reading-induced presence, which would be to take certain quotes from the presence transcripts that you've spoken and use them in a way that by reading them over in a quiet fashion, I induce a fairly deep state of presence that sticks with me for quite a while. And it's been terrific for the last few days.
Excellent. Excellent. And what are you noticing in how it is affecting?
Oh, everything has been very smooth. In fact, one of the funniest things is that I normally keep on a piece of paper, I'll list down questions during the week ahead of a session that I want to discuss with you. And what I found this week was every time I put down a question, I found great information that answered that question by the end of the day.
That is the point, my friend. Congratulations, that is the point.
Thank you.
That is moving in the direction of being self-directing and giving yourself your answers. In this, let me express here, that very subject has presented itself recently in concern for other individuals in the direction of, if I am giving myself my own answers, then I will not incorporate the interaction with you any longer, and I have become friends with you, and I will miss that. And I have expressed, no, you can continue to engage myself, but in a manner of a different dynamic, rather than only asking questions, perhaps moving in a direction of validation and encouragement, and occasionally asking questions. And in that, giving yourself that power of your own answers, which has been my agenda from the onset of this forum. Congratulations.
Thank you, Elias. In fact, my first question that I had written down just before we started this session was just to go a little differently and see if you had any questions for me.
My question would be in relation to what you are doing. You expressed that you notice that most of your directions are moving more smoothly. Now, what are you noticing in relation to your interactions with other individuals, such as your family members?
They've been very smooth. And in fact, that's one of the issues that, it's something that has been an issue. I've talked about my relation with my wife over the last few months. And right up until last week, I still was just felt unhappy and unsatisfied with it. And not that tremendous has changed objectively, it just seems like there's an edge missing these last few days in our conversations that was there the last couple of months, an edginess.
I would express that this is an example of when you are being more present, your importances change. Therefore, first of all, you are not reactive.
Mm-hmm.
In this, let me express to you, in many, many, many situations and capacities, the reason that there is that edginess in conversations and in energy between individuals is that there is defense included. And the defense is influenced by reactions. And when the reactions are not present, the defense is not generally present. And therefore, in that, the example of the importance changing is that the importance is no longer on being right and therefore being defensive and therefore also being reactive, but merely being.
Right.
Considerable amount of that edginess that you are describing does disappear. And this also, my friend, is another reinforcing example that you actually do create your reality, even in relation to other individuals. No, you are not making their choices for mm-hmm. them. But you are influencing. And beyond the factor of influencing, you are creating your reality. Therefore, what you include in it changes. For in that, you are not changing the other individual, as you have noticed and experienced, but how the individual interacts with you is different, for you are no longer reflecting those aspects of what are uncomfortable or what you do not want, for you are not projecting it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are not projecting it, then what you are drawing to yourself will be what you want. Now, let me offer you a very realistic, hypothetical example. You may be accustomed to a particular subject that usually generates a conflict between yourself and your partner.
Okay.
A disagreement. And in that, perhaps an argument generally will ensue.
Yeah.
Or even if it is not an argument, it is somewhat of a conflict in which one or the other of you will withdraw and stop participating in the disagreement merely to avoid it. Now, in that, in the very practical, realistic terms, once again, you are not changing the other individual. Therefore, the other individual may continue to express certain aspects of their behavior
mm-hmm.
that are the same. But rather than that conflict ensuing with you in your presence, perhaps it will be directed on the telephone to another individual. Or it will be expressed at a shop with another individual. Or it will be expressed with a coworker and not with you.
Ah, okay.
Therefore, you are not changing the other individual's behavior. You are are not changing their personality. You are not changing their perception or what they do or their issues on how they are expressed. But you are changing what you draw into your reality. Therefore, when that individual is engaging you, they are engaging you differently.
Mm-hmm.
And this, it does change your reality. And the more you do that, the more you become accustomed to a new direction, a new expression. And the more it reinforces that those conflicts are not important to you. And therefore, automatically, in the same capacity that you would previously automatically react, it very quickly becomes automatic to not react. This is a very good and easy example of that it is not difficult to change your perception, to change your reality. It does not require tremendous effort and work. It is not difficult. It is actually easy. It is merely a matter of doing it.
Well, yes, the doing it is often, you have some tendencies going in the other direction.
Oh, I agree. But that it is a matter of paying attention.
Right.
And actually implementing intentionally moving your attention. It is not that the actual action of that is difficult. It is the movement in that direction and intentionally doing it. And in that implementing it regardless of what you are thinking at the time. For generally, the greatest obstacle is that most individuals are listening to what they are thinking, and what they are thinking is this one small action will make no difference. How can this possibly affect anything? How can this one action possibly change my reality?
Right.
Well, it is a matter of engaging that unfamiliar step, even if you do not believe it yet, and experimenting with it. And that is the difficult part.
Well, I certainly believe it at this point. And in fact, I would say that I'm moving very rapidly towards a completely different way of perceiving my life.
Excellent. I would be tremendously acknowledging of you, my friend. This is tremendous.
At times, I find it very easy to, you know, when I'm that present, obviously the level of my reactions is greatly diminished, meaning I still notice reactions, but they're just a minor blip. And I can, if it's not an energy that I necessarily want to be expressing, I can, you know, choose to express some, you know, an acknowledgement of something more positive instead, immediately following that.
That is tremendous. Now, what would you say is the most affecting expression or situation that influences you to forget to be present?
Yikes.
What types of situations or what types of interactions or what types of actions influence you the most to forget to be present, that are so automatic that they influence you to forget that?
Oh, I was thinking in a different direction. For example, we were on vacation last week with a lot of friends, and oftentimes just things being easy and having fun and not necessarily, you know, have to go through work actually makes it more difficult to be present or to remember to be present.
I would agree. For there is less structure.
Right.
And when you incorporate more structure, you can move your physical actions and your routine engagements into a position of being automatic, in which they do not require much thinking or attention. And that allows you, in the framework of that structure, to be aware of what you are doing when you are in social situations and you do not have that framework of that structure. It is much easier to automatically fix your attention outside of yourself on what is happening, what the other individuals are doing, what they are expressing, and even with yourself, what you are doing and not being present with what you are doing, fixed on the action or what is occurring around you to a degree that you no longer are aware of your participation in it.
Right.
Or merely doing it. I would agree. I would express that that is an excellent observation, that in social situations, it is more challenging to be present, for there's much more distraction.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I've noticed this week is that I'm much more spontaneously, I don't know if the word expressing is, but experiencing satisfaction.
Excellent.
Where I'm just happy to sit and not necessarily need to do anything at the moment.
That is another tremendous accomplishment, for that aspect of being productive is tremendous. Having to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You are not doing, you are not being productive. Even though you are not necessarily thinking about being productive, that is the motivating force. And therefore, if you are not doing, you are not being productive. And if you are not being productive, you are being lazy.
Right, or even if it's just needing to be entertained, that I need to play a game or watch a movie or something like that.
Correct.
There's less of a need for that.
Because that is still doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even being entertained is still doing. And in that, it is doing, but also placing the responsibility of your existence, once again, outside of yourself.
Right.
But it is so much more empowering when the responsibility is where it belongs, with yourself. For then you have all the choices.
I wanted to ask you about an individual that one of the forum members had introduced me to. And he's similar to the Lester Levinson we had spoken about previously. This individual's name was Neville Goddard. And what he recommended, and this is all along the very similar lines, he would talk about how our assumptions drive our life or lead us to create the events that we go through. In other words, the way he's using the word assumptions would be similar to the way you perceive yourself. So your perceptions about yourself drive a lot of the creations of your life, and that you can use your reactions as a feedback mechanism to see what assumptions or, you know, how you perceive your life. In other words, if I am reacting because I'm having, you know, twangs of, oh no, I'm not doing enough at work, and then that's, you know, that tells me something about how I perceive myself and what assumptions I've made. And so he talks about, you know, changing those assumptions, and basically the idea is that you assume it, what you want. You do use your imagination and assume that you already have or already are what you want, which is what we've talked about, what you talk about in the past, and that assumption build a bridge of incidents that inevitably lead to the fulfillment itself. And he talks a lot about assuming the feeling that your wish is fulfilled and continuously holding on to that or paying attention to that. And so all that sounds very, like, I don't believe you would have any argument with anything said so far, right?
Correct.
Okay. And so I just wanted to dig in a little further, because he does talk about it with quite a bit of clarity on how to implement it, and I just wanted to see if it all sounds – one area of confusion is where you can create like this with other people and not get it into – is a woman who has a bad relationship with her employer, and he's always criticizing her work and so on. And so he asks her about her relationship and, you know, how she thinks about work. And it turns out that she has these mental conversations, like, use with her imagination, which is something I'm sure many, many people do. I do myself, is that you have these imaginary conversations in your head with someone. And in her head, she was having these arguments with her boss, her employer, in her head on the way to work. Just something that happens automatically. And that was a big reason why she was getting terrible feedback. And so she consciously changed those conversations so that she was imagining that her boss was giving her positive feedback and saying that she was doing a great job, and her assumption that was that her work was satisfactory. And then so he's saying that, you know, after doing that for a number of weeks, it ended up being that's the feedback that she started getting, that he was more positive and more satisfied with her work, and, you know, he expressed that to her. So I wanted to ask you whether that – everything sounds right there, or is there borderline getting into expectations of how that other person, that employer, is going to behave? Or if you don't even
– I would express that as a method for individuals that are not necessarily self-aware and are looking for what you term to be self-help. help solutions, that may be successful to a degree.
Okay.
I would express that it could be successful for a time framework. And that could move in a direction to be beneficial to the individual in increasing their confidence and their self-empowerment to a degree. The pitfall with that is that without the factor of being aware of self, and without the factor of recognizing that what you are actually doing is changing your own expression and therefore changing the energy that you are projecting, and that is what is changing the reality around you. Without that piece, the success of the method would be temporary.
I think I'm understanding.
Or if anything changes in the scenario, then the method would not work any longer. Therefore, if the boss changed their direction or changed some aspect of their behavior, then the method would not necessarily work. In this, let me offer a variation on that scenario. Let us say it is an individual and that it is a parent,
okay,
rather than a boss. And let us say that the individual that is engaging the method is an adult, not a child.
Mm-hmm.
Now in this, let us say that they are engaged in conflict very consistently with that parent, that the parent is continuously discounting them and not acknowledging them, and that whatever they do, they perceive it as not good enough. Now, the individual could employ that type of method, and it would be temporarily successful. It is very likely that it would be temporarily successful, but that parent could alter their expression and begin discounting not their child, but their child's spouse. Or they are not generating a payoff any longer from discounting their own child, but their child's spouse is important to them, and therefore if they discount them, and it is not that the parent is thinking about this.
Right.
Or evaluating it. It will be an automatic action. It will be an automatic diversion. What I am accustomed to expressing is not giving me the payoff that I generally receive. Therefore, I will change the scenario somewhat. And that will give me the payoff that I am looking for. Now, the other individual is not thinking about any of this. They are merely engaging what is familiar to them.
And reacting to the energy?
They are recognizing that something changed. And they are not receiving the payoff that they did previously. Now, mind you, that adult child is engaging this method from the perspective of your example, not from the perspective of being aware of themselves and that they are not other individuals' behavior. They are changing their own behavior and therefore also changing their own concentration and therefore changing what they are pulling into their reality.
Right, so that perspective is key.
Yes, because in that, when you are aware of it is your expression that you are changing, not the other individual. You can maintain that, and you can do that from a genuine perspective rather than merely a method.
Because otherwise, if the other person changes, you might get frustrated, react.
Correct. For now, they are engaging a different avenue.
And you're paying attention and now to them, what, not you.
But now it is they are generating the same type of behavior as they were before. They are merely directing it slightly differently. And now what do I do? And my method is no longer being successful. And why is it not being successful? For I expected to change the other individual. But you are not changing the other individual. You are not changing their behavior. You are not changing their guidelines or what is important to them or their personality or their reactions. What you are changing is your reflection from them. Therefore, rather than them discounting you or arguing with you or engaging in conflict with you, they will do it with someone else. They will still do it, but they will not do it with you because you are not projecting that energy and therefore you are not reflecting it to yourself. Now, I would agree with the aspect of assumptions. I would express that this is very similar to expectations. And in that, I would express that all of you generate assumptions in relation to other individuals, to situations, to circumstances, even to objects, that you do express assuming. And when you assume, you generate one of two actions. It is not always absolute that you will present to yourself or generate precisely what you assume.
Mm-hmm.
No, you will either do that, you will either create what you assume, or you will create the reverse. And generally speaking, there is tremendous potential for conflict in either direction. For assumptions are based on your own expressions, on your own behavior, on your own actions and choices and expressions. Therefore, in relation to outside sources, and I would express outside sources, for it is not always necessarily another individual.
Okay.
It may be a situation, or it may even be an object. It could be a computer.
Mm-hmm.
It matters not. When you generate assuming, what you are doing is projecting your own expression onto an outside source. This is what I would do. This is what I would not do. This is what I dislike. This is what I prefer. Now, understand, an assumption is also not a mirror. Therefore, your assumption, your assuming in relation to an outside source is based in your own expressions, but it could also be the reverse of your own. Therefore, you could be expressing an assumption in relation to what you believe and actually generate the reverse of that.
Can you give me an example there?
Very well. You could express the assumption that if another individual consumes too much alcohol,
mm-hmm.
that it will affect their behavior in a negative capacity.
Okay.
And in that, because of that assumption, it may influence your behavior in relation to another individual consuming alcohol,
mm-hmm.
the capacity in which you are discouraging of them, or you are thinking that you are encouraging them to not move in a direction that would be negative or harmful to them. And in actuality, you can create a situation in which the individual may be more conflicting and combative without the alcohol than they would be with it.
Okay.
Or you could generate a very simple assumption that a television program that you very much enjoy will be programmed at the same time every week on the same day, and that you can always expect to engage it at that day and time, and then it is interrupted. Or your television is not cooperating. You assume that it will be consistent and that it will always be the same.
No, but is my assumption having an impact there, or is it?
Very much so. It affects your behavior.
My reaction.
Yes.
Okay.
You will react.
Right. Right. I get that. Right. So if I make an assumption, right, about how someone is, or any situation, that obviously determines how I'm going to react. So I can, vice versa, I can use my reactions, therefore, to see my assumptions.
Precisely. That is what I express. Agree with the expression. I do agree with the concept and what is being expressed. What I would not entirely agree with, although I would not entirely disagree with either, is merely the methods.
And what would you change?
As I expressed, what I would suggest in relation to the methods is that the individual understands that it is a matter
of
self, not the outside source.
And then once you're clear on that end and you're actually, let's say, present, relatively present, then it seems to me that you would be able to do something like that. I understand you're not changing the other individual, but you know what? If they're arguing with someone else instead of yourself, you're reaching your, at least
changing
your objective.
Reality, you are definitely changing your reality.
Right. I mean, if she wants to yell at someone else.
Precisely.
Who am I?
Precisely. And it is not bothersome to you, and it is not placing yourself in an uncomfortable situation, and therefore, once again, the importance is different. Even in that.
So this opens up the possibility of, and I've been thinking about this over the last day or two, of changing lots of things or setting in motion, and I was thinking about this in the context of, it's not, you know, you could set the change in process, but then it's a matter of enjoying the process, or, you know, moving through the process and experiencing it and learning from it and keeping your energy aligned with it. But it really opens up everything.
It does. And that is the point. And I would be tremendously acknowledging of you that you are beginning to see it. Father, this is what I have been expressing from the onset of this forum. And this is the point. It is, you are creating all of your reality. Every moment, every second, every breath you take, and everything in it. And in that, you are not co-creating. There is no official reality. in addition to whatever reality you are creating, and in that your belief systems and your beliefs are not your enemy. They are not bad or wrong. It is what you do with them. And it is more a matter of all the constructs that you surround your beliefs with and how that influences you. It is not a matter of the idea of right and wrong is bad. You will always incorporate the idea of right and wrong in your reality. It is part of your blueprint. But that it is not so absolute. That is what is meant by neutralizing. For in that, you recognize that this is not what is important.
Right.
Absolutely, ultimately right is not important. How you experience your life is important. Whether you are comfortable and satisfied and content is important. Being ultimately absolutely right is not, and does not provide that expression of satisfaction, comfort, and contentment. Generally, it provides conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you are absolutely right, then something else must be absolutely wrong.
And so I've been thinking of kind of smaller areas to start playing around with. And again, I've done similar things in the past, but it's been without knowing how I was doing it. So the success was hit or miss, and then I eventually gave up on it.
That also, let me interject and reinforce, that is also another factor in relation to the method that you presented as an example. If it is not consistently successful, most individuals do lose interest.
Right, right. Yeah, even I've had tremendous success in some areas, but just because it's a low success rate, it gets annoying, frustrating. Interesting. What else?
Now, in this, how would you, without instructing, convey this example to your children?
Oh my goodness. That's a great question, and it's a whole nother area of something that's been thinking in the back of my mind is
Or remember, there are many, many, many other influences all around them, and they are not moving in this direction.
I know. Most people aren't, I assume.
But it is a matter of you interpret a choice of a position of a father. You have chosen to engage a family, and in doing so, you incorporate children, and in that, you have accepted that role of a parent, and you have also accepted the expressions of what that role is. To be guiding.
Oh, right. No, absolutely. And I want to be helpful.
Yes. Therefore, then I would express that I would very much encourage you to continue practicing with all of this with yourself and continue to be expressing that presence with yourself and not to overwhelm yourself. But to also somewhat consider and entertain the idea of how would you express this as an example to your children without instructing them.
Well, I would think of it in a way of inspiring them to put themselves first.
Yes.
That it's their opinion, it's their perception of themselves that's the most important.
Yes. And in that, considering how you convey to them that empowerment to also convey that peace that being ultimately right is not ultimately important. Therefore, not perceiving themselves to be weak if they are not defending themselves.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot there. I mean, it's a broad change in direction to.
I would agree, for these are all aspects of what you are accustomed to within your societies, in your world, in very practical terms, even as an adult, in being confident enough in yourself and in your direction and in your guidelines and expression to be projecting that type of energy in which you are not reflecting to yourself being perceived as being weak. If you are not defending yourself, or if you are not engaging if you disagree with another individual.
And so is that something specifically that you think, the example you're giving is something that you would think would be specifically helpful at this time, not just a random example?
Yes.
Because they're going through that age where they're dealing with conflict with others and...
Yes. And defending oneself is a significant subject.
Yes. I recall.
And is viewed as important. There is much importance that is directed to that. standing up for oneself, defending oneself.
Oh my gosh, my whole childhood was built around that.
Yes.
All my memories.
Yes. Expressing yourself. Expressing yourself in standing up for yourself.
Right.
And in that, the standing up for yourself and defending yourself is projecting that opposing energy. And therefore,
right.
That is what you encourage. And that is what you present.
I wanted to get in another question before we finish here, because I think we're getting to the end. And the topic you're mentioning is something we're going to explore certainly much more in the future.
Very well.
But using this method of changing your assumptions or changing your about your life, remember we had talked about my high cholesterol?
Yes.
And so using
that is an excellent example.
To improve that metric.
That is an excellent example. Change the assumption. In that, change the assumption from that expression of the cholesterol and that it is high and that it will continue to be so, for you have no control over the body consciousness, to the body consciousness natural state is not to express that. And that the body is capable of regulating itself. It does not require you to be engaging all types of methods or medications or particular specific exercises to regulate it. It is capable of regulating itself.
And so putting that into effect would be reminding myself, and again using Neville's language here, he talks about assuming the feeling of your wish being fulfilled, meaning you think you normally describe this as a feeling, but there's that sense if you think about something that's accomplished or that you already have, that sense of accomplishment, that acknowledgement that...
Precisely, which you do already have. Your body already possesses that ability.
Right. And so just bring that up and then also noticing when I'm perhaps reacting a different way.
Yes.
When I'm eating a cheeseburger and I'm like, ugh, and I say, well, I'm reacting.
Yes.
And reinforce the other assumption.
Yes. Yes. Precisely.
Excellent.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I would express that you've got it, Miss Doolittle.
Yeah, it's really all come together in a huge way. I can't even imagine a year ago from today, I was talking to you about how, or a little over a year, how I had broken my hand in anger punching a wall.
Remember. And now you are calmly experiencing presence and not being bothered.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Tremendous
congratulations to you.
Thank you, Elias, and thank you for your help.
You are very welcome, my dear friend. I shall greatly be anticipating our next meeting. And I express wondrous lovingness to you, as always.
Thank you. Goodbye.